look at me turning the tables on everybody. Isn't this interesting? Look at the tables turning. Here I am, Mr. God is the Savior of all mankind. That's my message, isn't it? And now I'm telling you how many people aren't going to be saved for aeonian life. Well, it's true. And that's not all, I suppose. No, I'm even so politically incorrect as to break people up into categories. You here, you there, you're going to be snatched away, you're not. Well, it's not too hard to see this. As if the Apostle Paul doesn't break people into categories. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 1:18. Remember, I told you about this a couple years back. You don't remember? For the word of the cross is stupidity indeed to those who are perishing, yet to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. There are people perishing right now. Eternally, no, but they're perishing for the eons. They're on their way toward perishing. There's two types of people who are perishing. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jews, signs are requesting, and Greeks, wisdom are seeking, yet we are heralding Christ crucified. Three categories, Jews, Greeks, and we. The Jews, the religious person, they're requesting signs. The Greeks, the men and women of the world. And yet there's a third category, and that is those of us who are called, we're heralding Christ. Now, to the Jews, to the religious person, the cross of Christ is a snare. To the nations, it's stupidity. Well, why is it a snare? It's a snare because it's too simple. It's a snare because the cross of Christ makes salvation complete, and that takes away people working for salvation, and people hate that message. Believe me, I know. I've tried to put it across, haven't I, for many years. Yet though, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Amazing. Look, three categories. The worldly man, who is totally ignorant of God, and the religious man, who is totally ignorant of God. You heard me right. The amazing thing to me about this verse is Paul is putting the worldly man and the religious man in the same category. The only difference between the worldly man, who may believe in money, puts faith in money, and the religious man puts faith in self, well, the religious man has all the trappings of God. You know, he's got the whitewash going. That's the difference. The worldly man doesn't even pretend to put a fish applique on his car. Oh, man, people think that just because you have a metal fish applique on your car, then you're a Christian, and you're called by God, and you're saved for aeonian life. Not true. There's a lot of false teachings going on that are being dressed up in Christian garb. No difference between the worldly man and the religious man. Keep that in mind. That's a radical teaching. I ended yesterday with a verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, and I'm going back there now. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Now, if our evangel is covered also, it is covered in those who are perishing. Just talked about the two types of people who are perishing, worldly people and religious people. They're both perishing. One of them just looks more Christian while they're perishing, that's all. One of the groups wearing a cross while they're perishing. One of the groups... I've said enough. If our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing, in whom the god of this aeon, that's small g there, that's Satan, blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving, so that the illumination of the evangel, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, does not irradiate them, to be radiant. The evangel of peace, the evangel of goodness, the evangel that Jesus Christ will reconcile all to himself, this makes a person radiant, makes a person believe a good, happy thing. Well, this gospel is hidden, and it does not irradiate people who are unbelievers. That's why I can lump people who are not seeing the glory of the grace of God, not apprehending the evangel of Paul, which is the evangel of peace, I lump them into the perishing, unbelieving category, and so does the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians 4. That's the radical thing of this verse. He calls them unbelievers. And again, just because you name the name of Christ, it doesn't mean you're a believer. What are you believing? Is belief important? You might say, if you've listened to me teach, you might say, well, Martin, you don't believe that belief is important. You say that people are saved no matter what. I say they're saved for eternity due to the gracious nature of Christ's work on the cross, but yet God will grant belief in the right things to those who are called. Remember, I don't want you to get this mixed up here. I'm not saying that you're saved because you believe the right things. You're saved for the eon. Speaking of aeonian life now, I'm saying that God will make sure that those who are called, those he has predestined, will believe the right things. Put the horse where he belongs, in front of the cart. Matthew 7:22, what a radical verse. When I first saw this, it knocked me out. Many will be declaring to me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesy, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many powerful deeds, and in your name put metal fish appliques on our cars? And then shall I be avowing to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. I never knew you relatively. He knows them absolutely, but relatively, they did not have a true understanding of him. They gave him lip service, but their hearts didn't belong to him. Now, here's my question. Who can say this? Who can even say, didn't we do this in your name, in your name, in your name? The only people who could possibly say this are Christians. Christians. You see what the prefix there is, or the root word there? Christ, Christ, Christ. Only Christians can say, we did this in your name, in your name, in your name. Apparently, there's going to be a whole bunch of people in the last days here who are not going, they're not only are they not going to get into the kingdom, but they're certainly not, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, they're certainly not apprehending the illumination of the evangel of the glory of Christ. Who are these people who will say, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we put a fish on our car in your name? And yet he will say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Now, in Matthew 23:28, Jesus, speaking of the Pharisees, said, you also outside indeed are appearing to men to be just, yet inside you are distended with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus Christ is putting hypocrisy in the same category as lawlessness, to be a hypocrite. And the Christian religion is distended with hypocrisy, telling you one thing about how free salvation is and then teaching an entirely different thing. You have to believe in the right way. You know the rest of the story there. This is an era of the administration of the grace of God. I told you that before. Now, I do not want you to assume that since this is an era of grace, that it is an era of numbers, because that's an assumption. Because salvation is free, then everybody's in. No, nobody is grasping the freeness of salvation. You see, apprehension is important. And Satan has used false teachings, I'm back in 2 Corinthians 4:4, to blind the apprehensions. People say, well, they just don't understand it. They don't apprehend it. Misapprehension is fatal. It's fatal. Satan is not stupid. He has invented teachings of lawless, teachings of demons, and I'm going to get to this tomorrow, to keep people from believing key elements of the evangel of Paul, because it is only this evangel, the evangel of Paul, the evangel of grace, that is associated with the rapture or the snatching away, not the circumcision gospel. In the circumcision gospel, you never hoped to go to heaven. Your destination was on the earth. Peter said, what will our place be? We've left everything for you. What's going to happen with us? Jesus said, you'll be seated on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So whenever you're talking about the snatching away, or you're talking about the scenario presented by the stupid movies nowadays, Left Behind, you're talking about millions of people being taken away simultaneously. No, that only happens if you are apprehending the evangel of the glory of Christ. And need I say that the doctrine of eternal torment, the doctrine of salvation by human willpower, is not evidence of an apprehension of this gospel. Therefore, I conclude that Satan has blinded these individuals by means of the teachings of demons, and they are perishing. All this has to do, again, with aeonian life. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you specifically what people are believing who are who are perishing. I'm going to give you the elements of Paul's gospel. This will help you understand why the snatching away that is associated with an apprehension of the evangel of the glory of Christ, why it is going to be so small during this eon. Everybody's going to be saved eventually, but God is calling people now as spearhead people. We're a spearhead group. He's going to use the body of Christ to reach millions among the celestials, and he's going to use the nation of Israel to reach thousands upon this earth. But he's calling a small group now in order to reach the large group later. And today, this week, I'm talking about the small group. I'm talking relatively who is saved for the eons. Not a lot of people. Going to get into teachings of demons tomorrow, and we're going to put the evangel of Paul in a nutshell for you. I'm Martin Zender. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.